This is Hockey Central 2020 Stanley Cup Playoff Special, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Oh, hello. Here we are. It's just after 10 o'clock, a couple hours early, and we have a busy, busy day for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We got Patrick. He's producing. Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Let's test this next one out. We got Logan. How are you?
Gentlemen, how are we?
Oh, my goodness. He's of the palatial gated community down south, sounding fantastic as always. And yeah. Let's talk to Lou. Let's hear that awesome tag that we love
Flames
to hear.
Flames insider Peter Loubardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
I would stick by every word that I said, but specifically every word that I said. I don't think he came off the bench and said, hey, I'm going to see if I can go stab the back of Mark Scheifele's leg with my skate. I think he got to that point, and I think that's exactly what he did. But I don't think he's skating across the ice thinking that's what I'm going to do. I think he plays at a level that he's on the edge. He crosses it sometimes. He crossed it in my mind clearly. That's exactly how I feel about it.
There we go. Head coach for the Winnipeg Jets yesterday, the press conference. He had one after the game on Saturday, and then had one and basically did not walk back his comments at all. Peter Loubardius says he was on the air doing the game when the incident happened, got to hear post-game Paul Maurice's comments, and then the follow-up. So give me your thoughts and what you've been thinking about this whole situation.
Do I have half an hour? Because I might need it this time.
It's going to, this is crazy, hey? Like, there's a million things to talk about, but this is huge.
It is. And for somebody who loves to think about it and break it down, this is some of the greatest theater. Kelly, I think Pat said on the weekend, and I've known you for a long time, you're not afraid of a hit record. Well, this is a bit of a early hit record, isn't it, in the playoffs? Right? So here we go. Let's start with Paul. I've known Paul for a long time. I have incredible respect for Paul. I got to know him a little bit at Sportsnet when I was working on the TV side. Obviously, I've covered his teams, including the Stanley Cup Final in 2002. And Paul is an incredibly intelligent, smart person. Now, here's where we're going to go. Is it easy to just come out and say, do I truly believe in Paul's heart of hearts that he thought there was intent to injure by Matthew Tkachuk? No, I don't. But what this is about is a couple of things. Kelly, it's personal. And here's why, in part, it's personal. The Winnipeg Jets, like the Calgary Flames, spent 4 months. They had 3 months to prepare their team for night number one of a playoff series. Paul is one of the winningest coaches in the playoffs. The other night was his 82nd regular season game. You know what you can't prepare for? There's not a coach, Kelly, there's not a boss, including yourself, who hasn't thought, well, if this guy doesn't show up for work or if this happens, how am I going to handle it? But you know where it gets tricky? It gets tricky in two ways. And let's start with Matthew Tkachuk. When you think about the Calgary Flames and who they are and their identity and what they're all about, if there's one guy, Kelly Kirsch, on the Calgary Flames going into that series for the Winnipeg Jets that you have to be most aware of, who do you think that would be?
Well, obviously, Matthew Tkachuk. You have to be, right?
Right, right. So the smartest people in hockey, and they're incredibly smart and intelligent. So your whole game plan, not your whole game plan, but a certain portion of your game plan is, we know that Matthew Tkachuk has the ability to stir it up, to get people off their game, and now I need to make sure my players are dialed in so it doesn't become about that. On the first shift of the game, let's remember, not the incident, but prior to that, Matthew Tkachuk knocked Mark Scheifele right on his backside, away from the puck. Now I've served notice. Now if I'm Matthew Tkachuk, what have we heard from Matthew Tkachuk? I'm embarrassed. I don't like losing, and I need to be better. So do you think Matthew Tkachuk was ready to be at his best to start the game on Saturday? Yes. Do you think Matthew Tkachuk thrives on his ability to be an elite player and get under people's skin? Yes. You know who Matthew Tkachuk reminds me a lot of, Kelly?
Who?
Ryan Kesler.
Okay, yeah.
And do you not think that when the Anaheim Ducks played the Calgary Flames in some of those playoff series, that they didn't know whether to what or wind their watch with Ryan Kesler?
Oh, for sure.
They're hard to deal with because half of you want to punch him right in the teeth, and then part of you goes, well, this is what this guy's all about, so let's leave him alone. But the reason Ryan Kesler was Ryan Kesler is he was an elite two-way center, and he never, when he was healthy, he never got away from what he did best. So let's go back to Paul Maurice now. So your calling card in part, and the guy that helped set the standard for your hockey team, is Mark Scheifele. He's like Matthew Tkachuk, but different. He's all hockey. He consumes hockey, I understand, like no one else's business. He had 14 goals in the playoffs 2 years ago. So when you're a boss or a coach, my feeling is you look for players who can be a reflection of you and the message and how you want your team to play. Mark Scheifele would be right at the top of the list. You know what the Winnipeg Jets weren't planning for? They knew Matthew Tkachuk was going to be a burr in their side. But what the Winnipeg Jets were not planning for, and even if you think about it, there's one thing to think about how you might react when you lose one of your best people, and not just a great player, but somebody who drives your bus, somebody who sets the standard and drags your team in that makes you who you are. Kelly, you know what that was for the Winnipeg Jets? That was devastating.
Yeah.
And you know how I know it was devastating? Because as much as I played the first clip and all the attention has gone to Paul's reaction and how strong he is, here's the clip after the weekend that has resonated the most with me, and I'm going to explain why after I let you hear it.
We still have good players that there's enough history between a bunch of them that we should be able to move around. You lose your number one center, that's going to hurt. There's no doubt about it. But I couldn't find a rhythm with a group, and I don't think I did enough to get my players a chance.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting clip, too. I mean, he's taking some of the taking some of the blame and putting it on himself, which is pretty classy. And I thought that was very telling the way he said that.
You know what good leaders do? They have the ability to admit to others when they have erred. And that's why I think Paul Maurice is an excellent coach and always has been an excellent coach, because that part of leadership is really, really important. Now, going back to it, what's it about going forward? It's about the response. Now, I did not expect I thought Paul Maurice might walk back his comments a little bit yesterday. I really did.
Yeah.
So when people seem a little out of character, that's when I take notice. And here's my take on that. So you leave the game. Paul, in a sense, just admitted, did he handle that devastating situation the best that he could? No. No, he didn't. So now you sit down as a staff. You understand that you're probably playing at least today, maybe longer, without a driver and as good a forward and as good a player as you have. So now what am I going to do? I don't have two aces in my hand anymore. I don't. But Paul has decided, in terms of a couple of things, I believe. He's trying to rally his team and get the best response. And how coaches, I believe, do that, Kelly, is they take the temperature of their team. So he has chosen to go, I said some incredibly strong things about Matthew Tkachuk, and I'm going to still own that. And I'll deal with that when I have to deal with that. But Paul isn't worried about Matthew Tkachuk. He's worried about his own group and making sure that he gives them any kind of edge, any kind of motivation that he possibly can to be at their best today. And so he knows as well, stirring up the fire maybe has Matthew Tkachuk thinking a little bit. Because Matthew Tkachuk has incredible respect for the game. It's all he's known. He's a friend or at least an acquaintance with Mark Scheifele. They train in the summer. Do you think that was easy for him to see somebody go down like that? Not a chance. But what Matthew showed even in his maturity, because guess what, Kelly? He's been here before. Do I think that he handled the original Drew Doughty situation overly well? No, that was hard on him. I don't think he came back the same guy for almost the rest of the season.
It rattled him for sure. It did.
It rattled him. It didn't rattle him. And you know what was the great part? It didn't rattle his team. Yeah. So with all the focus on Paul Maurice, and I've just broken down why I think all of it has gone the way that it has, and I don't truly believe that what Paul is questioning is how Matthew Tkachuk goes about his business. He doesn't like it. It became personal, and he's okay with that. And I guarantee you if I phoned him at the end of the series, I bet he'd take Matthew Tkachuk on his team potentially in 1 second. But that's the cards that he's played. Now, moving on. Do you know who the first star of Saturday was?
The first star of the game on Saturday.
And it's not a player.
Hmm.
It's Jeff Ward.
Okay.
And why? Because what have we talked about, Kelly, for weeks? We've talked about a team that's been through adversity. We've talked about a team that needed to learn lessons. We've talked about a team that needed to believe that they required something different in their mindset. Kelly, you've seen a lot of Flames games. I've been around for a lot of Flames games. That was as prepared, as consistent a performance, attention to detail, as I can almost ever remember from this game and this core group in a long time.
Yeah, they stuck to it. They stuck to it, which is not always the plan, right? Because they can get, you know, the game will dictate it. In the past, things kind of get, go off the rails pretty quick. But they didn't even matter what the score was. They just kept playing the same way for the entire game.
That's growth. That's having your team in the right place. Was it perfect? No. Did they start perfect? No. But between the incident and even giving up the first goal, Kelly, did they get away from it?
Yeah, it was interesting because after Scheifele went out, it looked like that sort of lifted the Jets for a while. And then after the first period, you wonder if the guys kind of knew how badly he was hurt or he wasn't coming back or whatever. And it sort of affected them. And the Flames just kept kept playing the same way and kept pushing right at them.
There it is. And maturity and growth. Last year in the playoffs, I don't think the Flames necessarily handle that situation the way that they did. That's growth. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for a team who's going to handle adversity. That was the most impressive thing to me, is that they got down a goal, but they didn't get away from what they wanted to do, and they did it incredibly well. There were no passengers. Everybody chipped in. Everybody played their role, and they stayed with their game way longer than the Winnipeg Jets. And yes, the players play the game, and I'm completely on board. But for a team that, by their own coach, that's who I take the cues from, the people who know who are on the inside. Has Jeff not talked about being comfortable and uncomfortable? Yes. Has he talked about being more accountable to one another? Yes. Has he talked about going into these playoffs We have lots of skill. It's about will. The Calgary Flames' will to be at their best was stronger. They handled it way better than the Jets. But guess what? That's one game. And Jeff, again, that's his first coaching appearance as a head coach in the NHL against a veteran like Paul. But Kelly, guess what? Experience matters. Where he's been, what he's learned. Jeff is an incredibly bright, intelligent, knows how to communicate. Obviously is not afraid both internally and externally to hold his players accountable, and he's trying to set a standard. And he and his team passed that test Saturday night with flying colors. And just another example of who Jeff Ward is, listen to how he stepped up and how he handled the Paul Maurice comments and the incident.
If we're talking about another player, if it was Johnny Gaudreau instead of Matthew Tkachuk, then we're probably not even talking about it. Is it an unfortunate injury? Yes. But we've all gone and been on teams in the playoffs where injuries have happened to our players. I understand what Paul's doing. You know, Paul's trying to defend and support his player, and I'm going to defend and support my player right now. But he's trying to get an elite player in our team suspended by the league. The league made a ruling on it today. That there's going to be no further discussion about it. And so we move on. But, you know, as I said, I understand what Paul's doing. You know, he's defending his player. He's trying to get an elite player in our lineup potentially taken out or suspended. And he's trying to create some energy probably in his own room. I mean, he's a veteran coach. He's a really good coach. And he knows exactly, you know, the way he wants to posture himself and the way he wants to do this.
There you go. Head coach Jeff Ward yesterday kind of responding, obviously, to head coach Paul Maurice's comments about Matthew Tkachuk and the Mark Scheifele incident. Interesting how this has just gone throughout the hockey world all over the place. Peter, do you think we had Brian Burke on the TV last night talking about, you know, he thought that Paul Maurice had overstepped his boundaries and was out of line, essentially. This is going to be interesting to see if, as for both teams, how this affects them for today, I guess, right?
That's what it's about, Kelly. It's about where do we go from here. That's what life's about. How are we going to handle today? And when the lights are bright and now the intensity is ramped up even more, you have to, for both teams, you have to park, if you can, all of what happened on Saturday. And if you are the Calgary Flames, and I loved Marty Gelinas' quote on our post-game show, he used this phrase, rinse and repeat.
I love that.
Yes, because if you are the Calgary Flames, in every game that you play in the playoffs from here on in, that's what you're looking to do. That's the standard that you want to set. Going into the playoffs, we with the Calgary Flames had more unanswered questions because, Kelly, we didn't know what to expect. You know when you know you've become a good team and good at anything? When people observe your work and they know what Yep. to expect and you give the best representation of you in your craft consistently.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the playoffs are about. Except now, for many, the pressure, the stage, it doesn't work for everybody because now you have to elevate because the pressure is turned up and you have to adjust in game as a team, as an individual. So a lot has been said. Paul has said a lot. He understands that. Trust me. He knows exactly what he's doing. Jeff, like I said, I think Jeff getting his team with his staff ready did an outstanding job and then in handling the response. Now, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
How do these two teams handle it? And if you're the Winnipeg Jets, you cannot afford today, and you know where I'm going to go, You can't afford a motion to override intelligence, because if you do and your focus becomes on Matthew Tkachuk, the Calgary Flames are going to probably put you right in their back pocket. But on the other side, the Calgary Flames, chapter one was a gem. You don't get to win a series without three wins here, and your ability to live up to the standard that you set on Saturday. That's why I can't wait for 2 hours from now, and that's what I love about sports in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to, you have to write 18 more chapters like that if you want the end goal to win the Stanley Cup.
So
and that's just the way it is, and you got to dial it up again. And you know what? If you're the Flames, you hope the Jets are kind of fixated on Matthew Tkachuk.
You sure do.
Do it. Go for it, because you'll take penalties. It cost them, you know, to be honest with you, you know, it cost them on Saturday night. They were too worried about it, and Flames, you know, let them have it on the power play. So simple as that, right? It's just the
way
it is.
They were devastated, Kelly. They were a devastated group, and I completely 100% understand why they were a devastated group. But that's done. The same way the Flames' great game, that is done. Now what are you going to give me today?
Exactly. We're chatting with Peter Labardius right here on a special Hockey Central on a holiday Monday, on a game day, as the Flames take on the Winnipeg Jets. Pregame, our Flames warm-up at 11:30, play-by-play at 12:30, and then we've got, obviously, the game, the post-game show, the overtime call-in show. Then we'll go back to Edmonton and pick up the feed with the Edmonton Oilers and the Chicago Blackhawks. We're also joined today by Logan Gordon.
Morning, Lou. How are you?
I don't think I even need to answer that question. I think it's pretty. I think it's pretty apparent. I'm awesome, Logan. I am awesome.
I'm glad to hear it, pal. I just wanted to get one more on the Maurice and Tkachuk thing, and I'm curious because you guys just mentioned it a little bit there, and it has to do with the focus of the Jets coming into this game, and I wonder if Maurice's comments don't push his team too much in that direction of focusing on 19 and, you know, having to deal with him. And because that's playing right into Tkachuk's hand, and that's something that Matthew would absolutely relish going forward. And I wonder if you are in the same boat as me in thinking that maybe Paul pushed that message a little bit too much with his group.
No, I'm the opposite, actually. Believe it or not, I'm the opposite. Because there's no one who knows that team more than Paul Maurice.
So he is
betting on him being that strong in his stance, his ability with that stance. The thing you can't overlook either, Logan, is he wants the attention to be on him, not his team. His team didn't play well. They were not very good. And we've already spent 25 minutes talking about why. But you're all in as a coach, because it's like playing a hand of cards. You know what you've got in your hand. And now you've got to play with that hand the best that you can. So he obviously, with his staff, has decided the best way to rally my group is kind of have a true us against them mentality, which he must feel is going to have his team focused, energized, emotionally ready. And in saying that, part of why you do that and the gamesmanship isn't just about getting your own group ready. It's about how you think it might affect the other group, depending on their focus, depending on their history. And here's something that I've thought about, Logan, along those lines. And I'm going to ask you the question. In games involving the Los Angeles Kings and the Calgary Flames after the Drew Doughty incident, do you think that one team has benefited more than the other based on the event?
That's an interesting way to look at it. I would say probably, yeah.
And which team was that?
Probably the Kings. The way they rallied around the member of their organization, a key part of their team.
There's the example right there. I think that plays into it right there. Is the Calgary Flames are in a situation where they're growing, and how are they going to handle all of it? Their focus, their attention to detail. How are they? Because guess what? We haven't talked enough about this. Paul Maurice punched Matthew Tkachuk, and he questioned his pride. He questioned Matthew's character. If I'm on Matthew Tkachuk's team, I'm not going to take that very well. That's going to piss me off because you just hurt a really key person in my family. That's going to make me stronger and harder on puck battles because now you've pissed me off. And that part of the story can't be lost either. But I think part of it for Paul is examining all the stuff that I've thought about. And maybe I'm overthinking it, but my experience just tries to teach me, look at everybody's side from all the angles, use other examples to try to figure out all of it. And Logan, I'm glad you went down that road because I think that's what Paul potentially is thinking. And now it's about the Flames, frankly, because like you, do I truly believe that in some ways in those games against the Kings, that the Flames rallied around Matthew Tkachuk the way I would have liked? No, but today is a new day.
Yeah.
And so was Saturday. And to the Calgary Flames' credit, they showed growth and maturity. Well, they're in the eye of the storm. And guess what? You know what experience and hard reps in life teach you? They help you to get better the next time. And I know one thing about this current collection of the Calgary Flames. They've been through a lot. And whether it's Brad Treleving, Jeff Ward, and his coaching staff, you know what I've observed? Excellent leadership. And if the players follow those people, we might be on the air talking about the Calgary Flames for a long time.
There we go. Lou, we haven't even got to the other games or anything. oh, my goodness. How about if we take a break? I'm going to switch things around. Can you kind of, I just want to ask you a little bit about some of the other games and stuff. It's just been really, really exciting. We're going to take a quick break and reset. And, we're busy here, so we'll just take a quick break and then let Lou go and then reset for 11 o'clock. It is Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Hockey Central. Playoff special continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your long weekend with all this hockey. How can you not? It has been absolutely awesome. I'm Kelly Kirsch with Logan Gordon. We've got Patrick Dumas doing the producing, making way for our Flames warm-up coming up at 11:30. Lots of hockey talk before then. We just kind of scratched the surface, got Lou all wound up about the Matthew Tkachuk and Paul Maurice and Jeff Ward. And we're like, oh, my God, we haven't really talked about anything else. Lou, there's been a ton of hockey on, so let's maybe work our way backwards. I kind of thought for the Canucks they maybe drew the wrong kind of team to get back into the playoffs with, and the Minnesota Wild just had a game plan, and they stuck to it, and I think frustrated the Vancouver Canucks. How did you see it last night as that was the late game up in Edmonton?
I was incredibly impressed with two teams last night, and one was the Minnesota Wild and the other was the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Kelly, I did see it very much the same way. I felt in many ways that the Minnesota Wild beat Vancouver at their own game, but they had a nice head start. And while Jacob Markstrom was really good in the game after it was 1-0, I didn't like the goal by Fiala. That goal can't go in. It puts you back on your heels. And now you're chasing the game against the Winnipeg or against the Minnesota team that was very dialed in to the details. And the people in hockey will talk about when you are defending and playing the game the right way, Kelly, you could take your camera, take a picture, and you know what you'd see? You'd see all five of your guys in the shot. And that's how I assess what I saw from the Minnesota Wild. Their attention to detail, they used their speed beautifully to execute. Everywhere I looked, all three zones, all night long, five guys in the picture, five guys in the picture, five guys in the picture, which means you're all connected. They didn't give up very much. They played incredibly well, and I can now truly understand why Dean Evason and the Wild had success. And the other part I truly believe, Kelly, about the Vancouver Canucks is this. For their young people, what don't they have?
Experience in the playoffs.
Experience in the playoffs. And I think that that, including their goalie, it's different. You have to go through some of it. I like the Vancouver Canucks. I think they're very much headed in the right direction. But they were out-experienced, out-executed, and out-worked. And my guess is they'll be much better in Game 2.
Peter Labardes is our guest. We also have Logan Gordon. Logan, what did you think of Columbus and Toronto, as that was kind of the early late game, as it were, or the first night game, I guess, last night?
I mean, you have to give so much credit to John Tortorella and Columbus, because they just come out and it doesn't seem to matter who they play against, whether it's Tampa Bay last year, Toronto this year. They just don't care who you have on your end of the ice. They are going to go out and execute their game plan to the best of their ability. And God forbid you get behind on them, because it's not a fun, hill to climb when you're behind on a team like that. I thought Corvisalo looked fantastic last night when he was challenged, but the whole team just plays as, a unit. They don't have one superstar. Well, actually, that's wrong. Seth Jones looked like a superstar last night and should be in that category, in my opinion. But they do everything together. They defend well. They pressure you. They're just a hard team to play against, man. And I think for the Toronto Maple Leafs, they kind of got a bit of a wake-up call last night that, offensive skill alone is not going to beat this team. They're going to have to bring it in a lot of different elements if they want to come out of this series against Columbus. I didn't think Columbus was going to be a walkover by any means, but they certainly showed last night that, they can do it any way you want to do it. They don't care who you are. They're going to go and play their game.
Lou, how'd you see that game?
Logan, that's as well described as I can give it. And here's what I would add. That was a true testament to will against skill. And will won. And here's the other part of it, Logan. It goes back to what we talked about in the first half hour. Have the Columbus Blue Jackets set a standard of how they play and what you expect from them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that,
damn right.
That wasn't a surprise. We knew they were going to do that.
They did it this year, losing 400-plus man games. Why? Because the nature and the standard of their group has been set. So now when that happens, it's up to you as an individual to plug and play. And John Tortorella is a terrific coach because he's honest, he is real, and he doesn't hide it with anybody. No one, not the media, not his players. That guy is about as real can get. And he has, with his teams, outside of a stop in Vancouver, which I just personally truly believe he'd lost his job with the Rangers. He wasn't right when he took that job. I don't think he was ready to be at his best. But when he is at his best, his teams live up to a standard, and they rarely get away from it. What the Toronto Maple Leafs have yet to get to is a standard. Because even going into game one, I'll ask you both. We didn't know what the result was. We know which team has more talent. But what team did we trust even going into game one in terms of who would be at their best with what they have?
I just thought we, you know, Columbus had shown, you know, time and time again that they can get off the mat. They can play really, really strong. And that's John Tortorella has done that in every stop he has been on practically.
Yeah.
That's just what he did. But I just thought some of the things that he did, like using Pierre-Luc Dubois and just really kind of making sure he was out as much as possible against, you know, Austin Matthews and some of the other things he did was just brilliant. I think he outcoached, you know.
I think he got his team to execute better. And Logan talked about one guy. How's the Ryan Johansson, who I like, but how's the Ryan Johansson Seth Jones trade looking right about now?
It's a fleecing.
Seth Jones, who I watched in Portland in junior and with the U.S. National Development Team, his dad, Popeye Jones, I remember watching him vividly the first time in person going, oh my goodness, this is like a young racehorse with incredible potential, unbelievable athleticism. And when this guy really matures and grows into his body and is a hockey player, look out. Well, between he and Zach Werenski, they both played 27. That was an incredible pairing last night. And if you're going to shut down the best people on the Toronto Maple Leafs, you better defend. And they did it as a team. But those guys look like Norris Trophy candidates last night. That's how good they were.
Now, the early game, we had it right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Great to hear the legendary Pete Weber on these airwaves. And it was a weird game, a weird first period for the Predators. And, the Coyotes just took it to them, had a couple of fluky goals, made the best of their way, and hung in there. Lou, what did you think of the early game as the Coyotes get it done?
Kelly, self-admittedly, I was in at the radio station collecting audio and listening. So of all the games yesterday, I wasn't quite as dialed in as I was on the other games. But Nashville's an interesting group for me. And they're really, I think, at a crossroads. You know, they have a lot of good players, but the mix right now just isn't right. They weren't ready to play yesterday. As you know, in goal, there's kind of a passing of the torch potentially going on. Pecorine, UC Saros, Matt Duchene's a really interesting player for me because he's incredibly talented. And I've found that Matt Duchene has been at his best when he doesn't have to be the guy. When he's played for his country in big events and has been more of a complimentary piece. You know, Ryan Johansson had an incredible playoff a couple years ago, especially that first round series against Chicago. But, you know, even he has been someone at times, even going all the way back to his days with the Portland Winterhawks, where there's been questions about his ability to elevate. I love their defense. But there's something wrong in the mix. And the one thing about Arizona is, like Columbus, it's not perfect, and they're still working on it, and they don't score easy and all of that. But Rick Tocchet, with a veteran group on defense and great goaltending, whether you love them or don't like them, most nights you do kind of know what you're going to get. And I thought that was kind of the story of that game yesterday, the way it unfolded.
Okay, so that's, and they had a little bit of a goaltending controversy too, Logan, as the Preds weren't, you know, they weren't telling anybody who they're going to start in goal, but they go with Saros, and when you consider what Pekka Rinne has meant to that franchise for how many years, that wouldn't have been an easy decision, but they make it, and you know, it turns out maybe the first couple of goals were really weird. But I don't imagine that the controversy will end anytime soon with Pekka Rinne on the bench.
No, and it's such a hard position for the Predators to find themselves in because, you know, when you think of the Nashville Predators and you think of goaltending, there's just been one name for the longest time, ever since Thomas Vokoun, really. It's been Pekka Rinne. He's been that solid goaltender for them for years and years. And, you know, Father Time catches up to everybody. Nobody's ever going to outrun him. And, you know, sooner or later, someone was going to have to come in and take the reins from him. And it just so happens that he's still there while it's happening. And it's impossible when someone has the reputation and the success that he's had to, you know, just pass it over without some sort of trepidation or some sort of questioning yourself, especially when, you know, and I don't think that game was on UC Soros by any means, but when you go in and you lose the first game in a best of five and you don't have much chance to, you know, fix things before it gets out of hand for you, you automatically are going to go there and look at things and look at any position that you could potentially change for the better. And I think it would be natural for them to sit there and think maybe we should put Peck in for game two, or maybe we stick with UC. But it's definitely something that's hanging over that organization right now. And it's not a good time for it. It's not the ideal time to be worrying about something like that.
Peter, before we let you go and get you ready for a Flames warm-up, lots of talk about the officiating. There's been lots of penalties. It's been great, you know, for if you like power plays and that sort of thing. Do you think that the refs will maybe let the guys play a little bit more? Because what I've seen have been penalties. They're calling it the way they should call it. Do you think as we kind of they get back in it, because it's been a 4-month break for the refs as well?
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to see maybe a little more stuff let go, or how do you think? I personally think the only sport that they change the way they call things, I would like to call it the way it's supposed to be. Way more fair that way, but what do you think?
Well, I mean, it's multi-layered, Kelly. Here's probably the end goal for me, is they're trying to come to a standard themselves, and there's two officials, two referees in every game, and, you know, that provides challenges. It's a difficult time of the year. The intensity is ramped up, like, at 1,000 miles an hour, maybe even more so than what I would have thought. And not unlike the players, Kelly, the referees, who are so under scrutiny and so watched and so looked at, listen, this is very different for them, too. Like the players, they get a chance to grow their game during the year and get ready. And, you know, this is different in terms of preparation for them. And maybe in some ways, you know, I guess they, you know, they watch video and they go over it a lot like a player. But, you know, the referees, it might even be harder, Kelly, because at least in scrimmages and exhibition games, and of course the refs got those too, right? But they're going to have to settle in too, because they've gone from 0 to 150 themselves. So I think that's going to be a work in progress as well, to see how it settles in.
Okay, Lou, we're going to let you go, and we'll take a quick break. Look forward to your call coming up with Derek later on today, as it's a holiday Monday with a Flames game, which is a first for everybody, and I think it's pretty cool that we're doing it. I'm kind of excited for this one.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Now I got to walk 4 blocks and get into the station so I can do Flames warm-up.
Fill out that form, Lou.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
There's Peter Livardius right here on Sportsnet 960. We'll take a break. Logan and I will reset and get you ready for Flames warm-up. It's a busy day here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Flames and Jets, best of 5 play-in. Game 2 today from Edmonton. Pre-game at 11:30, play-by-play at 12:30. Today's game day sponsor is South Point Toyota. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey Central playoff special continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Flames warm-up coming up at 11:30. I thought we'd have a little roundtable right now, so let's play that intro and then get going with this.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Once-in-a-lifetime hail means a very special opportunity to purchase a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Choose from 42 options. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary airport.
Well, not so much a round table, more like three separate tables. We have one down south, Logan Gordon. Hello.
Hello.
There we go. We have one with a bunch of, equipment and stuff with Patrick Dumas. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. And we got me here with the shower curtain. So we're rolling. Guys, I want to kind of revisit Saturday a little bit and then tee up in the next segment, tee up what we're looking at today. But the big storylines, Logan, were what? Cam Talbot can, or David Riddick. So we found out it was Talbot. And turned out he didn't have to do a whole bunch. And the other, big question mark was, what about the top line? Assess both of those big question marks for us, and then we'll get Patrick to weigh in as well.
I'll start with the goaltending. First of all, I was surprised, but a little bit happy to see that Cam Talbot got the start for the Flames. Look, in these situations, these best of fives, and especially with a coach that hasn't had the interim tag taken off of him that we know of, at least, he has to win. He has to pick the goaltender that gives his team the best chance to win. And while I don't think Cam Talbot was tested a whole lot in game number one, I think Cam Talbot gives the Flames, at least the group in front of him, a little bit more stability and a little bit less worry that, look, if we get, two past our goaltender, things could really spiral out of hand, which I think sometimes can happen with David Riddick when the highs are so high for him, but the lows are so low. Sometimes you can get the opposite with Cam Talbot. He's just a steady presence back there. He lets in the one, but he settles in for the rest of the game. And I was really impressed with him, and I think that'll continue for the Flames heading into game two today. As far as the top line goes, it was, I think you saw the emotion on Johnny's face when he scored the goal. There was so much talk going into this series about, he hasn't shown up in the last nine playoff games. He's only got the three assists. And look, Colorado was not a calling card for him. That's not a series he's going to look back on fondly throughout his career. So to get off to a good start with them, get a power play goal, get things back to even against Hellebuck and company, I think was great to see. Monahan and Lindholm were quiet, but did their jobs really well. Lindholm just kind of, even if he doesn't hit the score sheet, he's kind of all over the ice doing a little bit of everything. So, but the big point for me was Johnny getting on the scoreboard, getting himself in a good position for the rest of the series and to silence some of those doubters that had come out ahead of this series.
Patrick, what did you think of Talbot in the top line?
Well, we'll start with Talbot. Again, like what Logan said, I think it gives the Flames a little more confidence that, they've got a guy behind them that they can weigh on. Again, we can go back to against Colorado. Mike Smith played out of his mind there in game one, and obviously we see what happens the rest of the series. But this is a new year, obviously. Cam Talbot looked, he didn't have the greatest amount of opportunities to show up.
Wasn't that busy. Maybe that was a good thing to get him kind of ready for it.
To settle in. Yeah. Kopp got the goal right after Scheifele's injury, but after that, it was all Flames. They really controlled the neutral zone. Again, 5-on-5 play probably a little more even, but again, it was the special teams for Calgary that helped keep Winnipeg off the score sheet. They couldn't enter the zone, obviously, once Scheifele went down. And regarding that top line, it was a huge monkey off the back, I think, for Goudreau. You saw the excitement. I'm just jumping
the
into
big
the
leap,
arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that was like a kid, it was, it is a playoff game, and that was really exciting to see. Didn't really see much of Monahan, but I loved Lindholm. He was using his body a lot. He got obviously assisted as well as Monahan on that Goudreau goal. But Lindholm, he's using that body. I think that's a really underappreciated skill that Lindholm brings. Is he can throw his body if he's
he crashed a little bit.
Yeah,
that was good stuff. Okay, Logan, tell me about the bottom two lines for the Flames. What you saw from those two groups.
I liked what I saw. I was a bit surprised to see Sam Bennett get the nod on the third line with Lucic and Dubé, but maybe Derek Ryan's still nursing that a bit. But I think Derek, kind of has his spot on the power play, and, you can kind of use him a little bit more in a versatile role. I was really impressed with Lucic, Bennett, and Dubé specifically. Look, we know Sam Bennett shows up for these games. That's nothing new. That's really what Sam Bennett's been best known for in his tenure with the Flames has been his playoff success and the fact that he just shows up for these games and comes with a different level. But you know, the progression of Dylan Dubé and what Milan Lucic brings to the game. If he's not, you know, if he's not going to score and do other things like that, I thought he was good on the forecheck. There was a shift. I don't know if either one of you will remember it, but in the second period, there was a shift where Dubé, Lucic, and Bennett were just in on the forecheck in Winnipeg's zone. Winnipeg was either passing it off to the half wall or back in to their own zone. And every time they did, one of those three guys was there with a hit and a pressure back. I don't think they got a shot on goal in the entire sequence, but that's the kind of hockey you need to win. They were hard on the Winnipeg D. They made it harder. The game's going to be, you're going to be a little more tired, a little sore after that kind of shift. And if they're not going to, you know, I don't expect them to put up offensive numbers all the time, but if they're going to contribute like that, then that's absolutely what the Flames are going to love from that line. And I thought they did a spectacular job of it. And if they continue that kind of play throughout the rest of the series, the Flames will be really happy with them.
And Patrick, before we take a break, we should talk about the defense because obviously Travis Hamonic, bowed out and is not playing in this tournament. So they had to move things around. I thought Derek Forbert on the penalty kill was fantastic. I thought Gio played one of his best games in the playoffs in a while. What did you think of the back end for the Flames?
Yeah, they did their job. Like I said, it's such a huge loss for the Jets. You saw once Scheifele went down, it was completely, they couldn't enter anything, and the defense just threw up a giant wall. The quality shots that the Jets could generate with, I don't even know how many they really, you could define as quality. The shot attempts weren't there. They did their job. That's a solid back six, led obviously by Gio. I think the Gio was mainly, like, from what I saw, he was doing his job, and then really the only incident you really saw was him with Laine's hit, and I thought Laine was like, no, man, it's okay, and then he just shoves him in the arm and whatnot. So, again, you can't ask for a better, solid, everyone over 16 minutes of ice time. Everybody contributed in some way or another. It was a really, really good scene, and that's what you expect from the Flames defense, even without Hamonic. Those backs, that's a very, very solid, six guys on that defense.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll talk about today's game, see what the Jets are going to do with their lineup, see what the Flames are going to do, and we'll tee up what's happening. We've got Flames warm-up coming up at 11:30. This we will continue with the Flames roundtable after this right here on Sportsnet 960.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Once-in-a-lifetime hail means a very special opportunity to purchase a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Choose from 42 options. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary Airport.
Hockey Central playoff special continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Kelly Kirsch, Logan Gordon, Patrick Dumas as we get ready for Flames warm-up with Patrick Steinberg. And Peter Labardi is coming up at 11:30. Play-by-play, Flames and Jets, game two of the best of five will go at 12, well, puck drop about 12:40. We'll have it for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. All right, guys, let's talk about the game. Here it is. Now the pressure's squarely on the Winnipeg Jets. Logan, what do you expect in terms of a pushback? They've had some time to kind of get over the injuries and what's going to happen and who's going to play with who. But as for the Jets, what are you expecting them to do and maybe not do as they get ready for this game too?
I think they're going to want to set the pace early. If anything, Calgary's been guilty of, not just in these games, but in, you know, most of their season, as, you know, pretty slow starters. And with the exception of the first period in game one, you know, the Jets got outplayed. But in the first period, they were, you know, equal or if not better in some areas than the Flames were. So I think they're going to be fired up. Their coach is clearly, you know, trying to set an emotional tone for them and trying to get them engaged in it. So I would expect a big push from Winnipeg to start this one when the puck drops. And I think for Calgary, surviving that early pressure is going to be key. And then getting to your game a little bit earlier than you did in game one and trying to repeat the success you had there. But I really expect Winnipeg to come out firing here. They're going to have some different looking lines, obviously, because of some injuries. And I think now that they've had a day or two to kind of get ready for everything and know that they're not going to have Scheifele and potentially Laine in the lineup, they'll be better prepared for game two tonight.
Patrick, what do you think they do with their lineup for the Jets? They've got to fill some holes. They got to try and get a power play group together that can get their, get it together. And they obviously have to work on their penalty kill because that was suspect on Saturday night.
Exactly. The special teams were the killer for the Jets for sure on Saturday. If you were listening to us earlier, Eric Francis said he wouldn't be surprised if Mark Scheifele or Patrick Laine were in the lineup today. Obviously, we know the injury's not as bad as it once we thought it looked, at least.
That would be crazy if that happened.
That would just, like, you gotta treat this like a game seven, really, because you go down 2-0, you're probably not winning. Well, you might win tomorrow, but you're probably not winning the series. It's key. It's like, what do you do? Wheeler's played at center. Does Maurice want him at center? Maybe on the power play you have him at center, but maybe not start the game. I think you're going to have to look, like, Andrew Kopp was probably the best Jet, I would think, on Saturday. Yeah, he got the goal. But that third line with Lowry, with Kopp, they were probably the best guys. So, you know, you're asking for what little depth the Jets had heading in. You're asking them to play big-time minutes. Obviously, that defense, you know, we see what it was like. You know, it was kind of like the same what I thought of that game for the Jets was what I saw before February 1st. It was a lot of that chasing the game. A lot of they faced the most shots in the entire NHL, you know, like a lot of it, they depend on Hellebuck to bail them out. You know, it's going to have to be who's desperate enough. And for one, do not let Tkachuk determine the game for you. You cannot chase him. You cannot make this game revolve around what Matthew Tkachuk does. You have to put it aside. I know it was a big thing, but we have to move on. Maurice got them fired up with the comments. It's just all about setting Tkachuk aside, and I know he's going to be doing the same thing he's always done for his entire career.
Yeah, he's not going
to
stop.
No, he's not going to stop, but it's how the Jets have to just be composed. They're such a composed team. That wasn't what I've seen with the Jets under Paul Maurice. They don't get frazzled that much, and they got really unwound when Tkachuk and Scheifele went down, and that's not what I've seen with the Jets. Palmo, he knows what to do. That group knows what to do. That's a lot of games logged on that team, especially from the captain. So that's what I'm looking. I'd look for them to just get back to their style of play that they're so accustomed to. I know it's going to hurt without Scheifele and Laine. We will see, but that's what I expect from the Jets.
Logan, Connor Hellebuck came in as, you know, a huge advantage in goal, and obviously he's got the resume. Thought he was okay. Didn't know if he was, you know, he certainly wasn't in the position to steal a game. And there's a guy that maybe has to kind of prove it as well a little bit. I didn't see him being that intimidating goaltender that maybe we thought he was going to be.
No, and in fairness to him, as I kind of quickly review all three goals in my mind, the Gaudreau one's a tough one where they get the pass out to the open side.
He just about got there on the Gaudreau.
He almost got it, yeah. Which is ridiculous to say. That slight pause by Johnny almost gave Connor time to come over and save it. The second one, Reeder makes a great move on the breakaway. And on the third one, look, I mean, you're going to give anybody in the NHL that much time in front of the net. They're probably going to find it. But look, I would be surprised if we're not, you know, back to the regular Connor Hellebuck in this game that gives them a chance to win every night and probably steals a goal or two away from the Flames at some point. I think that was the only thing really missing in that game from Connor Hellebuck was that, you know, that game saving sort of, or that goal saving sort of steal from him that we're usually going to see. And I would be surprised if we don't get back to that tonight. And like I said, I don't really put any of those three on him by any means. His team wasn't exactly, you know, steadfast in front of him with their coverages either. But look, there's a Vezina Canada, the guy that you've leaned on for a lot this year. If he's back to, you know, Vezina caliber Connor Hellebuck, then it's going to be an interesting series going forward, because even without Scheifele and Laine, if that guy plays as well as we know he can play, this series is still very much up for grabs.
And Patrick, if you're the Jets, you don't want to. It was too easy for Cam Talbot on Saturday night. You want to make it a little rough for him and get some pucks to the net. And Cam has been a guy that has let, you know, that first one or two shots in, and it's been deflating. That's been, you know, unfortunately the way he is sort of his MO for a while. If you're the Jets, you want, you know, let's give that a try. Let's maybe not try for that perfect pass, that perfect shot. Let's just, you know, let's test this guy early to see if we can rattle him.
Yeah, exactly. I believe it was in the first period. It was a 2-on-1 with Ehlers and Laine. And we know Nick Ehlers' background in the playoffs. He's a heck of a regular season player, but when it comes to the playoffs, he has no goal. And he made that pass to Line A. And like, Ehlers, man, trust your shot. You're really good. Just try it. And that's what I mean. Like, and I hate to get like simple with hockey.
Can't pass up opportunities exactly. in the playoffs.
No, yeah. no, you just, have to yeah. shoot. And yeah. I think that was a little scared from Ehlers probably because he's, you know, he knows his playoff pass.
Yeah, I'll just pass it off.
But
yeah.
I hate to get like all simple, but it's all about just get traffic in front of Talbot. You know, I thought they controlled the play like first period, about the first half, and then coming out the third, I thought they played pretty well on both ends. They started to push the play, but then, you know, they get something going and it falls apart. So if you get the power play early, it's all about, I know we might not have that Line A shot on that left side, but Neil Pionki's got most of his points off power play. It's simplified. Just get guys in front of Talbot. And like Logan said, you can't pass up opportunities in these type of games, and especially in a game like today.
And as far as the Jets, if they lose this game, they're in massive trouble, and it'll be bad news for them. So this is a must win for them, obviously. As far as, you know, one thing we haven't mentioned is Michael Backlund had, you know, a really pretty goal there, and he was doing his thing. That second line, if the Jets want to run around and worry about Tkachuk, then go ahead. And then maybe, you know, the other guys just take advantage of that, Logan.
Yeah, look, and that's why I asked Lou the question I did when we had him on earlier, because I was just – look, the comments aside that I didn't agree with Paul Maurice doubling down on the other day are, you know, is secondary to this. But the fact of the matter is I just think that there's for me at least, there's a little bit of a worry about too much focus on 19 because he loves that. He is going to – play into that as much as he can. And maybe it was all for show for Paul Maurice and company just to, you know, to get away from some of the game stuff and just kind of, you know, try to put the spotlight on Tkachuk and the incident a little bit more. But Pat, you mentioned it, you cannot be running around going after this guy. And that's exactly what he's going to do all night tonight. He is going to poke. He's going to prod. He's going to try to get the focus shifted to him and get you worrying about him and not your game and not all the other important aspects that go into winning this game tonight. So be very cautious of that second line. We know how good they can be. Andrew Mangiapane has really started to come into his own. We know what Matt Tkachuk's all about. It was a good start for Backlund. That second line is as important as ever for Calgary when it comes to matchups, especially with Scheifele out of the game. Potentially, you know, Backlund's line is going to have a good matchup for themselves. They're going to have to find their rhythm again tonight.
Okay, guys, one final. So, Patrick, I'll ask you this question. The Flames win today if they do this, and I guess on the other side of it, Winnipeg will win if they do this.
The Flames win if that top line continues to generate offense, if Johnny can get a goal, if Monahan, if that top line is productive and active, the Flames will win. The Jets will win if they don't go after Tkachuk the way we expect them to, and if Hellebuck stands on his head, because that's the main thing. Don't get Matthew Tkachuk going, and maybe not even so much get Hellebuck on his head. Limit those quality shots. That was too many open opportunities for the Flames, and I know it's just you have to win. The 5-on-5 game was easy. Stay out of the box, and I think the Jets might have a little bit of more success tonight.
Logan, same two questions for you.
Jets win if some of their secondary stars show up. Kyle Connor might be the second best player on their team in my eyes, and Nick Ehlers certainly has more to give when it comes to the postseason. So I think if those two guys are able to step up to the next level, then the Jets have every chance of being successful tonight. And for the Flames, bring that same heat you did in the special teams. Have your power play be effective that's when you're going to get your quality chances against a Vezina winning goaltender. I don't think that's going too far out of the realm to say that Hellebuck's going to win it. So that's when you're going to get your quality chances. Make sure that you bury a couple of those if you're going to get those power play opportunities, and continue the solid work on the penalty kill. That was some of the best penalty killing I've seen from the Flames all season long. They were communicating. They worked as a unit. And I think if they're going to limit the Jets' power play opportunities that well, they're going to be successful.
All right, boys, thanks for this. The Flames warm-up is next right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.